Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Golf Range Manipulators. No, Gunge Missiles, no. Gandalf's Monkey Cage, no. Gossip Mongers, yes. Gossip Mongers, yes. Yes, that's it. Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Gossip number one.
Right, this is from Mike. Hi, when I was 13, I moved from Sheffield to a village near Huddersfield. Before joining the school, the headmaster had heard I was an okay footballer and sent a group of boys to my house to ask me to play out with a view that I'd join the football team. Two of the boys were twins called the Costello twins. One walked with a limp, and when I asked why, everyone got a little weird and quickly changed the subject. It was obviously a touchy subject. Turns out when they were young, they used to sleep head to toe in the same bed. And one night when they were asleep, one of the twins' big toes became stuck in the other's bum hole. It's the sweetest something up a bum mum we've heard, I think. Their mum had to take them to A&E and wait 2 hours until the doctor could get it out. I can't imagine the position she had to put them in the car to get them to fit. It was only a modest Ford Fiesta. To clarify, the one with the limp wasn't the one whose bumhole was penetrated.
Oh, wow. No, it was of course not, no.
It was the twin whose toe went up the bumhole. I can only imagine how tight that bumhole was to cause a permanent limp. That is also fucking nonsense. It's impressive it didn't wake him up as it wiggled in.
Maybe it did.
Yes. Maybe it backed onto it.
Maybe it woke the other bloke up.
Maybe they just both pretended to be asleep. No one admitting that is happening. The Costello twins. it really doesn't sound like they live in a village near Sheffield.
The Costello twins. The Costello twins. The Costello twins. Two young brothers, one with a limp, and the other with a super tight bum hole.
Super tight bum hole.
A toe-crushing body hole, in fact. A proper vice-like sphincter, indeed.
Vice-like sphincter, indeed.
Poor little smashed-up toe. Never saw that naughty bum hole coming. Sheffield's notorious Costello twins. Two young brothers, one with a limp, and the other with a super tight bum hole. Super tight bum hole. A toe-crushing body hole, in fact. A proper vice-like sphincter indeed. Super tight bum hole. Gossip number 2.
This is from Johnny. Dear David and Joe, here is my gossip. About 5 years ago, me and my good mate Aid were on our way to a concert by the Zootons in Brighton. We had agreed to meet at the train station in our little town. Aid's foreskin is incredibly stretchy and he's able to pinch the end, do a whole massive piss into it so it looks like a balloon, and then let it go so that a piss bomb explodes. Anyway.
Anyway.
While I was waiting for him at the station, I remembered I hadn't had my tea, so I crossed the road to go to Tony's Fish Bar. I walked in behind this fucking massive cunt who looked like giant haystacks. Rigger boots, fat legs, denim shorts, Iron Maiden t-shirt, high vis, long hair. As per usual, the Chinese kid was sat up at the only eat-in table playing with his dinosaurs, for fuck's sake. As I joined the
queue... Why is he so stressed?
I don't know.
Doesn't like anyone.
No. As I joined the queue behind the massive cunt, something mental happened. With absolutely no verbal exchange or eye contact, Tony handed the guy a fish cake, then carried on preparing the other customer's orders. This floored me. What the fuck had happened just now, and what the fuck had happened so this guy was fed immediately into the shop? When it was his turn, he was issued a wrapped meal, no bits, and fucked off. I got my chips and curry... Hang on a minute. What's happened?
Nothing. He got given a fish cake.
So the guy that looked like giant haystacks was given
a fish cake. Walked in, the guy automatically gave him a fish cake. The end.
I got my chips and curry sauce and ran to the station to tell Aid. He was as
good... Tell Aid what? That someone had got a fish cake? Without asking.
He was as gobsmacked as I was. We talked about it all the way to Brighton, all the way through the Zootons, and all the way... all the way home. We agreed to stake out Tony's Fish Bar and figure this shite out. In our naivety, we assumed he went there every night, but alas, we was wrong. We shifted our focus to Tuesday.
I feel like we've missed out. We missed a massive chunk of this story.
Yeah, I
like
did.
You've missed a paragraph of the interesting bit.
Well, I was waiting at the station. I remember I had my toe across the road and there was a big bloke. There was a big bloke in Tony's Fish Bar. As I joined the queue behind the cunt, no verbal exchange, Tony handed the guy a fish cake. No, that's it. Okay. We shifted our focus to Tuesdays and eventually witnessed the voiceless transaction, the symbiosis, the union. It was done with love. I still don't get it. We named him Automatic Fish Cake.
Automatic Fish Cake.
Okay. And immediately shortened it to Auto Cake.
Auto Cake. Auto Cake, Auto Cake, Auto Cake.
My good mate Roger has named his rock band after this.
Auto Cake.
Auto
Cake.
Tony's Fish Bar closed for good shortly after. And at the time this all occurred, Aid and me were 44 years old.
They were 44 when this happened. And he's starting the rock band.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Auto Cake, Auto Cake, Auto Cake.
Oh, dear.
Tony's Fish Bar and the Auto Cake Man.
Auto Cake.
A bloody confusing yarn if you ask me. All over the fucking shop.
Automatic Fish Cake.
Auto Cake Fish Cake. Auto Cake Man.
Auto Cake, Auto Cake, Auto Cake.
Auto Cake Fish Cake. Auto Cake Man.
Auto Cake.
Tony's Fish Bar and the Auto Cake Man.
All over the fucking shop.
Auto Cake. Cake, auto cake, man.
Auto cake, auto cake, auto cake.
Auto cake. Auto
cake. Gossip number 3.
Right, this is from Drew. Hello. For today's tale, I take you 5,500 miles east to the magical land of South Korea. My best pal, let's call him Jacob, and I took a long trip with our partners to explore the country and spend some time with an old schoolmate of his, Lee, who had taken a couple of years to teach English over there in the large coastal city of Busan. A couple of weeks into the trip, after too many consecutive nights of blind drunk karaoke, Lee excitedly invited to take us along to what he described as the best place in the world. This place was called Spa Land. Let me set the scene. You walk into an incredibly tranquil reception, waterfall, pan pipes and everything, and pay the equivalent of £12. This permits you entry to Spa Land for 6 hours. It's at this point that some of the cultural differences between Korea and the UK begin to make themselves apparent. Firstly, the genders are immediately separated from one another. Having waved goodbye to our better halves, who were sent to the lady spa, Lee, Jacob and I were guided to an elderly gentleman in a large wardrobe who was handing out what looked like Jedi robes. Having taken one look at Jacob, he pissed himself laughing and scurried off into the back for robes that would fit a 6'5", 23 stone rugby player. To say he stood out from the crowd in a Korean spa is an understatement. He gestured towards the changing rooms, where upon entry we were greeted with dozens of blokes without a shred of clothing between them. Yes, the first part of Spa Land was naked spa. The robes were strictly for part two. Having sheepishly relinquished our clothes and new pajamas into a locker, we shuffled out into the spa area. A collection of steam rooms, jacuzzis and saunas, all being enjoyed by men of all ages, all completely starkers. Safe to say, we began to turn some heads. This could simply be down to us being a few pasty Westerners, but is much more likely to be due to Jacob's freakish size, or the fact that I am extremely impressively well hung. That's the guy that wrote this. He got that out.
I don't doubt it.
Anyway, cheers. See you later. And that's it.
Fuck off, that's it.
No. Anyhow, we tried to avert our gaze as much as possible so as not to get ourselves in any trouble and get into the spirit of things. We sampled all the relaxing experiences on offer, feeling more and more relaxed as the minutes ebbed away. Sure enough, the friendly competition between friends soon arose, and we decided to play a game. Who, after weeks of cigarettes and soju, could hold their breath underwater longest. I went first, Lee went second. I know you're itching to know what the standings were before the final round, but what happened next has truly bleached our memory of the game from my mind. Jacob took a huge gulp of air and ducked below the surface. Almost immediately, two young nude Korean boys floated along. Wow, think along the lines of 9 or 10 years old. One hopped into the adjacent pool playing some kind of game of tag and the other tried to grab his mate from the pool that we were in. Fuck knows what they were doing, but one of the lads planted his foot on a bench that was submerged in the pool with his other foot outstretched onto the poolside. Lee and I looked in abject horror as the ominous black shape he clearly hadn't noticed beneath the surface directly between his legs.
He's taking a dump in the pool.
I don't know. I
think so.
Now, if Lee was more useful human, he could have spent his ample spare time from his teaching role to learn a bit more Korean. As he stood, Jacob, a man who once had a wank in an antique shop, unwittingly came together with the Korean child, simultaneously taking his testicles, penis and perineum and arsehole into his gaping, gasping gob.
What?
Basically, he'd gone under the water, and as he came up, he went.
And then what happened?
He put his mouth around a 10-year-old boy's arsehole.
Oh, dear.
This wasn't just a teabagging, but a full fucking English. He began to rise, his hulking frame, scrunched up eyes and gaping mouth breaking the surface of the water like jaws. Fucking hell.
Where's the shit? There's no shit.
No shit. There's just a gobbling up. Fucking hell. I can't relax enough to laugh. Why can't I?
Well,
I do know why. Being the giant individual that he is, he genuinely lifted the child into the air with his mouth. Like some grotesque acrobatic circus act. As he screeched in confusion, flailed his little limbs like a harpoon crab. Eventually balanced.
This is all right to laugh at, isn't it?
Well, it's an accident. It's an accident.
Yeah, exactly. No, there's no malice.
No.
No. It wasn't premeditated.
No. Eventually, balance was lost and the child splashed.
Oh, geez, Dad, not the car again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape. And there are raccoons living in the engine.
It's a family car.
There are flames on the hood?
Ah, custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
To the pool. He and his mate could not get out fast enough. They ran screaming for what we assumed would be their very naked fathers, who probably had some very reasonable questions for us. Utter cowardice took over. We legged into the changing rooms to get the Jedi robes on, find the birds, and get the fuck out of Dodge. Of course the women were nowhere to be seen when we got to the second more clothed area of Sparland. The best we could do to avert certain battery and probable arrest was to lock ourselves out of sight in a small bank of full body massage chairs. Think a leathery Iron Maiden that entombs your whole body, lifts you off the ground and fucks you all over with what feels like metal fists. These cost money, by the way, and we stayed here for over 2 hours, hidden from view and being slowly tenderized, till we felt confident that they must have stopped looking for us. This is 100% true, the end.
That's good fun.
Oh, bloody hell. Thank you, Drew.
Sparland, a lovely, tranquil place. To relax and unwind.
To relax and unwind.
Sparland.
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 Swim in the palatial pools. Or help yourself to one of our delicious bald bag and asshole sandwiches.
Sparland.
Sparland.
Sparland. Bald bag and asshole sandwiches. South Korea's finest. Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
Yum, yum, yum.
Bald bag and asshole sandwiches.
To relax and unwind.
Sparland.
End of part 111. Part 2 time. More juicy gossip, please.
Please.
Gossip number 4.
This is from Little Nobbins.
Mm-hmm.
Greetings, gossip spreaders. My name's Little Nobbins. No, I'm not the gossip, but I heard some ripe gossip recently. My colleague Bruce at work told us a story about his gran. We were talking about mad grandparents at work, and Bruce shared a story about his gran who lived in a small town in Gloucestershire. He told us every time he stayed with her, she always told the story about how his granddad's friend had stolen his prized tools. Granddad was very particular about his tools, hanging them up in their rightful place in the shed. They were his pride and joy. Long after granddad passed away, grandma continues to hold a grudge against the friend who didn't return the tools. Each time they'd hear that story, and they'd roll their eyes and make sympathetic noises, not sure if there was any truth in it. After Grandma passed away, and when cleaning out the shed, they noticed some of the tools were missing from Granddad's tool shed. They were so neatly arranged on the wall, it was clear to see the ones that were missing. Thinking Grandma might have actually been telling the truth, they didn't think too much about it, apart from some guilt. When they were going through their address book to see who to invite to the funeral, each entry in her address book, beautifully written in oldie-worldy handwriting, they went through all the names in the book until they got to the very bottom of the last page. Unlike all other entries, this one was written in capitals and in pencil under the phrase "tool thief." They looked at the entry, looked back at each other, then at the entry again. The name of the tool thief was Fred West.
No.
No.
Do they live in Gloucester?
Yeah.
Holy.
Oh, I got a little shiver then. Fucking hell.
Going to change the name.
No.
We'll change the name of what I was called that. I was going to call that Granddad's Tools.
Fucking hell.
But I might change that to Fred West. Shit.
That's one of my favourite ever gossips.
Fuck.
I got a real... Oh, wow.
Bloody Nora.
I quite know what I'm feeling.
Yeah, freaked out.
Yeah.
At least she survived it. God.
Fuck me. I don't know about you, but that one gave me the right willies. Frederick West.
Frederick West.
Not content with mass murder, little Freddy West was a little bloody tool thief as well. Little Freddy West, the tool thief. Slash serial killer. Frederick West slash killer tool thief. Gossip number 5.
This is from Francisco. So yeah, my dad says in Argentina where he grew up, he played football with a guy who could burp louder than a whistle. Like they'd ask him to burp instead of whistle if they wanted him to call someone over. Here, get Terry over here. Watch the whistle. Nah.
Nah.
Nah. Can you do that?
So well, can you can get that? Some people can do it with their fingers really loud.
Can you do that?
Do what?
I've just been burping for 8 seconds.
Oh, it hasn't come through. Yes, of course I can hear it. It's disgusting.
God, dear. Anyway.
You think your internet had stopped working?
Why is he not reacting to my burping?
I was just like, I'm not going to justify that.
Anyway. Because you could hear his burp from 15 blocks away. In England, brackets, that's probably close to a mile. Basically, if you whistled and he burped at the same time, everyone would hear him and not you. Yeah, we get the message.
You're kind of repeating.
And so was he, mate. Whee.
Hey. Call back. Wallop.
Oh, God. Thank you very much. Oh, it's nice to have someone not burping up jizz or something. Just a nice back to basics burp.
You didn't say P.S. you fingered a horse.
Oh, dear.
Burp, burp, louder than a whistle. Burp, 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 louder than a whistle. Burp, burp, louder than a whistle. Burp, 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 louder than a whistle. Burp, the famous Argentinian burping man. Burping man. Don't bother whistling, mate. We'll get Diego to just let one rip. Burp, burp, louder than a whistle. Burp, 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 louder than
burp, burp, louder than a whistle, burp, 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 louder than a whistle, burp.
Gossip number 6.
This is from Anonymous. This one happened over the Halloween period, circa 96. My friends and I, despite being far too old, spontaneously decided to go trick-or-treating to raise enough capital to invest in a couple of flagons of white lightning to drink in the park. As this was the early days of trick-or-treating, you were more likely to get a quid rather than a handful of sweets, like what households dish out now, but you still needed a costume. We decided to bugger off, improvise a costume, and meet back in half an hour from the door-to-door mugging. When we regrouped, some had ripped clothes and muddy faces, some kind of filthy zombies, I suppose, others with fake cuts and bruises drawn using their mum's makeup, ties around their head looking a right state, typically like we'd been thrown out of a nightclub. But one lad had gone the extra mile. He's wrapped himself in a 12-pack of recycled toilet paper and has come as the Andrex mummy. He is without doubt the star attraction, so he's up front as the nominated spokesperson. We do a few houses, get a few bob. The evening's moving a bit slowly for one of the grubby zombies, so as we're waiting at the next door, just as we see the lady about to answer the door, he's used his lighter and set fire to a trailing bog bandage. And Andrex mummy boy's leg has gone up a treat. I'm not sure what I'll do if I'm ever unlucky enough to have my leg on fire, but panic has done a lot of bog roll boy's thinking. And eschewing the wisdom of the stop, drop and roll technique, he knows one thing for sure, water beats fire. So, nicely aflame, he barges past the bemused lady of the house.
He went in.
He doesn't seem to be able to quite process the current events. As she's just opened the door to a screaming, flaming 5.5 pile of toilet paper.
He's made the decision to run in.
Gives way and watches as the fireball sprints up her stairs and heads for the bathroom. That bit of the story is definitely true. I saw it. I was there. From here, we have only the account as told by the mummy. As the rest of us all decided that however this ends, it ain't going to be pats on the back and handfuls of fun-sized Mars bars. So we run away, and that's the last of us we see, the arse-wiping undead for the night.
I love his decision.
He's obviously panicked, and his only thought is to get a water source. Surprisingly, because he's not college smart, he's identified the house's toilet as the most convenient place in the immediate vicinity. Unfortunately, as well as setting small carpet fires that the lady is trying to stamp out, he's found the bathroom door locked. By now, he's getting a bit warm, and despite wearing jeans underneath his bandages, a bit singed. So he shoulder charges the door open, only to find that the fit teen daughter's in the shower. He's a mummy.
He's on fire, is the bit you should be calling. Yeah.
Abandoning the toilet plan and letting his adolescent brain take over this shit show, he dives in with her, thus quenching his burning legs, yet lighting the jealousy and subsequent wank bank fantasies. For all the boys he insists on telling for the next few weeks, they've writhed around soapy and smouldering until he's bodily thrown out by the father as the papier-mâché figure of a horny schoolboy. This was quite the sensation for a while, and he was something of a school celebrity. Until someone's sister was friends with a girl who lived in that house, and her recollections of the night's events were very, very different.
I didn't think she might have been telling a porky.
It was, in fact, her father who was occupying the bathroom. And rather than taking a shower, he was actually in the middle of taking a dump. So when the burning mummy smashed through the door, daddy's jumped up,
in a state of some surprise, you'd imagine, and the mummy has in fact stuck to plan A and has stamped his foot into father's smelly turds. But finding that the toilet is too shallow to properly put himself out, he's had to reach in and splash the soiled brown water and all its contents up himself. Such a weird story. The Andrex mummy returned to its spiritual home in the shitty waters of a suburban toilet. His fantastical version exposed, he spent the rest of the school known as Shitfoot. And it serves him right. He's a lying prick. It's why I lit him up in the first place. What a fantastic bit of gossip.
My face hurts.
Dear.
Oh, God.
It's brilliant. Oh,
that's unbelievable.
Hell. Yeah.
God, what a journey.
Yeah.
Shitfoot the Andrex Mummy, Halloween Bop Roll Boy. Set him on fire and watch him run.
Shitfoot the Andrex Mummy
barges into the nearest bathroom in search of water. But not so much of the local hottie taking a shower, but her dad having a dump.
Shitfoot the Andrex Mummy.
Never mind though, the stinking shit-filled toilet still does the job. Serves the lying prick right. Stupid bot roll boy. The Andrex mummy moron.
Shitfoot the Andrex mummy.
The Andrex mummy moron.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes, bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatter biscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now, enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it.